Colossians chapter 3, we're looking at the application chapter, which we started last time, and I decided to project ahead a little bit and look at some subjects that would apply to camp. Now, these are subjects that apply to all of us as believers, but I want to make some applications in relation to camp. So, before we begin, though, Pastor Galt, would you lead us to the throne of grace? Now, just to review a little bit, the theme of the book of Colossians is the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way to put that is Jesus Christ has the first place. And we saw how Christ is the Creator, how He's the head of the church, He's the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. He is, of course, the one who brought salvation by His death for our sins, resurrection. He is preeminent in the Christian ministry, Paul says, whom we preach. He is the one in whom all wisdom is found, and He's the one who brings spiritual growth. And so the bottom line here is Jesus Christ is everything you need. Now, we have a Bible camp coming up. What's the name of the camp? Camp Logos. What does Logos mean? The Word, yep. And in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. That's a Greek word, logos. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it means He's the revealer. He's the subject of the Bible. He's God the Son. You have the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He has a special role in the Godhead. He reveals whom God is. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we hope that you hear about the Logos today, or this week. And Jesus is, He's the message. He's the message of the Bible. Now, in chapter 3, we have several applications of Jesus being first. And it becomes very practical. You know, the Bible doesn't do us any good if it isn't applied in our lives. So we saw last time how we want to seek Christ and have our affection set on Him primarily. And then we're going to see sanctification next week, Lord willing. And then we're going to see several things today that I thought would apply. And you see it on the screen there. The first thing we're going to look at is the Word of Christ. Since this is a Bible camp you're going to, I thought that's a good place to start. Then we'll drop back to that thought of Christ's likeness and unity. And then you want to look at camp, if you're a believer, as a time to serve. So those are the subjects we'll look at. And when we get to these, of course, in our regular study, we'll hit them again in more detail. Now let's go to Colossians 3 in verse 16, very key verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, primarily, I'm just hitting the first part of verse 16. Let the word of Christ. Now, why is this important? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. And when we look at the Bible, it isn't written just by man. It is written by man, but it's written by God. And it says in 2 Peter that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God authored the Scriptures, and He used man to write it. And when it says it's inspired by God, that means it's God-breathed. For instance, in Genesis 2:7, it says God created man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into him the breath of life. Man became a living soul. God created man. God created the Bible. Therefore, like Peter said, It's a light that that shines in a dark place of this world that we do well to take heed unto. We want the answers in life? Go to the Bible. It's all there. Thus saith the Lord. It's authoritative. It's authentic. This is a real thing. It has all power. In fact, and we can't go into all that it does, but let me go into a couple things. In 2 Timothy 3, it says that it's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It might be some of you young people don't know the Lord yet. And we've had several that have come to the Lord at Bible camp where their lives have been changed. So this is the first and foremost thing. Notice it's the word of Christ. That's his word, and it's about him. And this book starts out talking about the gospel that bears fruit. What is the gospel? What is the good news? It's the good news about Jesus and what he did for us, who he is and what he did. And again, he's not just a man, but he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as this book tells us. And therefore, he's able to save you. What did he do to save us? It's very simple. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Jesus did the work. The gospel, you don't want to misunderstand what that is. Are you with me, young people? The gospel is the good news about Jesus who loves you and died for your sins and rose again. And so you want to believe in him to be saved. You know the verse. For God, you want to say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Doesn't say whosoever lives a good life, does the best they can, turns over a new leaf. No, whoever believes in him. Got to admit you're a sinner, right? That's repentance. We all are sinners. But isn't it wonderful? Jesus died for our sins. It's a complete thing. The gospel's good news because it's a work of God for man. It's not a work of man for God. We could never earn this thing. So, let the word of Christ. Now, having said that, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, then you want to grow in him. Let me go back. This is something else the word will do. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So how can you grow? As you've been taught, you grow by the word of God. When Paul left Ephesus, he said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. That's what we need. We need the word. So hopefully camp will be that kind of time if you're saved, where you are saturated with the word. Now this is what this means here. Let the word of Christ, in our passage in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word dwell means be at home, inhabit. And that's where you've received the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, James 1:27. But then it's abiding in you, like Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. So, to be at home. Now, if I went over to Art's house, I use you as an illustration, Art, and I went into his closets and began to look through things, it'd be quite strange. And Art, he'll tell you what he thinks, too, so he'd have some words to say about it. Well, but if I lived there, if I was Art, I could go anywhere I wanted in that house, right? Well, if the word is at home in your heart, then it's a part of you. It's abiding there. The word is in you, and you're in the word, and you're living in the light of that, and you're meditating on that, like it says in Psalm 1, you're meditating on that night and day. And let the word of Christ dwell in you, let it be at home in you, richly. That means plentifully, richly. And now some of us remember our mothers used to have the old sponge, you know. Now all you can get is a little cube, but it's an animal, you know. It lives on the bottom of the sea. It's kind of interesting. Well, that thing will hold a lot of water. A lot of water. And that's the thought here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I think it's Dr. Chafer that coined the thought. You want to be saturated with the word. You want your heart and your mind just filled with the Word. Memorization's a good thing. You're going to do memorization at camp. Get it in your head and get it in your heart. Be saturated with the Word. It will affect your life. No question about that. And so that's the thought here. And for instance, Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We want it in our hearts. And then you want to meditate on that. Now, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It is the source of wisdom. If you go back to Colossians 1:28, notice what Paul says in his ministry here. 1:28, whom, Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, wisdom is where you take knowledge and you apply it in your life, simply put. That's wisdom. It's using knowledge to achieve the highest end. And so let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, where you're applying it in your life. Lord, what would you have me to do in any aspect of my life? And now this is related to Christ, because Colossians 2:3 says, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So it's all found in him. You know, young people, well, old people too, they're many times they're looking for an answer in life. And what is the direction? What is my purpose? Well, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing. If you get that established, he'll help you out on all those other things. We heard it this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. These other things will be added. Wisdom is very practical, but we need that relationship with the Lord. So that's our first point today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, at camp, it's a great time. It's down in southern Ohio, and you're down in the hills there, and they have a lake, and it's you're away from your telephones, your iPads, your video games, and your TVs, you know. So it's a real advantage to just hear the Bible. And you don't have the distractions of the world, and it's a real blessing. But you know, there's a purpose. There's a purpose in the whole thing. The Word of God. It's a Bible camp. And then you have, the applications of that would be, you've got two services, morning and evening, and then you have your devotion with your counselor, and then maybe if you know the Lord, you have your personal devotion, and you have your memory verses, and it's all about the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a good time. Camp is a lot of fun, you know. It's a great place, and it's great fellowship. But it is about the Word. So you want to get out of it what God's purpose is there in the Bible camp. Well, now let's go to our next point in Colossians chapter 3. Now, this would have to do with young campers, but this would also have to do with you workers at camp, whether it's counseling, administration, teaching, whatever. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to drop back now to verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, this is a lot to take, so we're just briefly touching on this. And this has to do with your Christ-likeness, and it has a great effect. If you have Christ in your heart, that's where it begins, right? You've received Christ into your heart by faith, and Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and Christ is all in all. Verse 11. Now, if you have the Lord in your heart, then you can outlive Christ. That's what this is really talking about. This isn't a list that comes naturally. I'm going to be good. I'm going to give you an illustration. And my son Ben, He had, I think he told you when Mike Brunk was here, he was his counselor 5 years. And one time he was in the shower house area, and Ben said, it's hard to be good this long. You know? Anyway, he did turn out good though. But here's the thing. You know, the goal there is I get camper of the week, but you can't do it. It's hard to be good very long. God in you can do it. Just like salvation, you can't do it. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, the Christian life's the same way. It's God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You've got to be in tune with him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's outliving Christ. And in fact, you have this metaphor here in verse 12. Put on, therefore. Now that's putting on as a garment. The previous verses, can't go into everything today. That's putting on the new man, verse 10. We have the old man. There's the new man. And of course, it doesn't mean there's a little old man living inside, kids. But there's an inclination towards what's good if you're saved. The new man, created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. But the old man was there when you were born. If you have kids, you know that. You teach them to do good. Well, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So put these things on as a garment. Be characterized by these things. The elect of God. And speaking of Mike Brunk, I remember back in the days in Athens, Ohio, Athens Bible Church, we had a gregarious song leader, and he'd call people on the spot, "Mike, it's your birthday. Stand up, give your testimony." And he did. And it was 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I liked it. And did you know that God chooses who's going to be saved? I'm teaching you the Bible now. And now I'm not taking away from whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You heard the illustration on the outside of the door. Whosoever will, let him come. You walk inside and you look up, chosen before the foundation of the world. It's an antinomy. Don't try to understand it. Just believe it. It's a wonderful truth. Well, if you're a believer today, you've been chosen. And elect of God, holy. Now, this means set apart. Set apart with God's righteousness. And let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you will, in verse 9. This is a positional holiness to which we are to live up to. In 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God sees you as holy. As the elect of God, holy. And then, beloved, 1 John 3 talks about, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Did you know you're beloved of God if you are a believer today? Oh, God loves the world. Don't get me wrong. Jesus died for the world. But he loves you in a special way if you receive Christ as your Savior. You're God's child. You're in his family. You're beloved. And nothing can separate you from that love. Romans 8:35. His love might take different forms if you go down the wrong road, but you are beloved. So we want to know who we are in Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God and beloved. Okay, here it is. What should we put on? And he tells us in tender mercies would be a rendering there, bowels of mercies, tender mercies. This has to do with a heart of compassion we're to have with those around us. Now, that would be important, don't you think, for a counselor at camp or a teacher or anybody who's working at camp, where you've got compassion on those kids. We've seen it before where sometimes they come from broken homes and they've had difficult lives, and camp is such a refreshing thing for them, like a haven. We want to have compassion on them and their need. Please go to Philippians 2, where we see this thought in a couple books back. One book back, Philippians 2:1, Paul says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies," there it is, tender compassions. So that ought to characterize a Christian. The next thing is kindness. Now this means gentleness. This means graciousness. This is a sweetness of disposition. Now this is for all Christians, but you think about how important that is at camp. And a kindness, a gentleness. And Jesus was that way, wasn't it? It talks about that, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And then, here's an important one, humbleness of mind. This is where we think lowly of ourselves. And Philippians 2 gives an example of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being a form of God, thought it not robbery to be with God, made himself of no reputation, means he emptied himself. He humbled himself, and he went to the cross. And it's amazing, isn't it? The Lord of glory was one who was lowly. And that goes a long way when it comes to Christian unity. You know, that's what he's getting out at in this section here. You have compassion, you have gentleness, a humbleness of mind, you think lowly of yourselves. And then here's a big one, meekness. Now, this doesn't mean weakness. You know, this isn't like the meekness club that they're going to do something if everybody will allow them to. I can't remember the full story on that. This means that you're not, you don't retaliate in the face of wrong. You are meek in spirit. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Jesus himself was meek. You know the passage? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. And isn't it amazing when Jesus was on the cross? He could have called 12 legions of angels, he said, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, kept on handing himself over to the Father. I would say that that's a strength when you have the power to do that. So tenderness, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Now we saw this back in Colossians 1, which is a result of spiritual strength. He says, strengthened with all might, verse 11, 1:11, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, perseverance, and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks. Now, a simple way to put this is you've got a long fuse. And you don't want to be short fuse where you pop, right? And so how important this is to be long suffering. And then forbearing one another. Now that simply put means put up with one another. The Greek actually means holding oneself back. And let's go to Ephesians 4:1. This is all, these are Christian virtues, brethren. This is as the elect of God, holy and beloved. These are Christ-like characteristics that he wants us to have in our lives. Ephesians 4, verse 1. And again, they don't come naturally, they come supernaturally. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. In love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. You know, Satan divides. God has already united us in his body, of which Christ is the head. So, forbearing, put up with. And forbearing one with one another and forgiving one another. And he defines that. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If you have a complaint, that means an actual blame. Then, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know how important this is in the body of Christ? It's important in a family, isn't it? You've got to have forgiveness. And it's important as fellow sinners saved by grace. Now, how did Jesus forgive us? Completely. And look at chapter 2, verse 13. We saw it. It says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You remember the definition? All means all. That's all means. Having forgiven you all trespasses. we saw the basis of that is the blood of Jesus. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sins. The night before Jesus died, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Shed for many for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. So there's no forgiveness outside of the cross. And by the way, if you're going to forgive another fellow man, you've got to know the forgiveness that comes from God. And how important that is. So even as Christ forgave you, that's a wonderful thing. So also do ye. By the way, his forgiveness is an unsurmountable debt, like the parable of the talents. You owed 10,000 talents, and maybe our brother owes us 200 denarii in contrast. So the forgiveness of a fellow believer, much less than the huge forgiveness that God's given us at the cross. Now, we come to the last point here, Colossians 3 in verse 14. And above all things, all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, please go to 1 Corinthians 13. Ben referenced this morning, but I want to read it. Now, think about this in the context of camp. Here you go. Or in the context of your life. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffereth long. There that is, that long suffering. And is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. If you love somebody, nothing's going to stop that, right? And I love my wife. She's the best. Well, it's many waters cannot quench love, and love is strong as death, Song of Solomon. But this is a love for the body of Christ. And this is agape love. Agape love is the love of God. You see, it's more than human affection. That's a great thing. And you ought to be able to tell your spouse, I love you, right? And mean that. But the love of God is greater. This is the love this is divine love. This is love that's unconditional. It's not, I'll love you if you love me. No, I'll love you. This is love that's sacrificial. I'll do anything for you. That's what he's saying now. This is what, above all things, put on love. Now, this is in the body of Christ, which is the bond of perfection, of perfectness or completeness. Now, that word bond is interesting because this is the glue that holds it all together, all these other virtues. Love is what ought to permeate it. Love is what should characterize a Christian. Love is what should characterize the home. Love is what should characterize Camp Logos. It's all about love. And it's God's love, right? He loves the world. He loves his people. And when that love is there, all these other things tie together. Otherwise, we're like little machines down here, you know. Like the man who brings home his paycheck and I heard about this, a counseling from Pastor Osbaugh, and the two are in different rooms, and he said to the man, she wants you to tell him that you love her. She knows I love her. I bring home the paycheck, and she just wants to hear it. And he finally does. He gives into it. And you want to have it in an open way, right? You want to have that in an open way in the body of Christ. And it is the bond of completeness. It'll bring everything together. 1 Peter says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. It'll cover the multitude of sins. So, wonderful thing. The greatest of these is love. Okay, let's go on to the next one. I got one more point here. So we've seen the importance of the Word. And it's the basis of our salvation, right? You believe the promise of God regarding Jesus Christ. Did you know you can't be saved without the Bible? And you can't grow in grace without the Bible? Then we see the importance of a Christ-like character. Now, you got to be born again first, and only Christ can produce it in you. And if you do, if those things happen by the grace of God, others, you know the hymn, I saw Jesus in you. That's the greatest compliment anybody can say to you, that they see something of Christ in you. And then thirdly, Camp Logos, or this, again, it has general application to all of us, it's a place to serve. Especially if you're a Christian and you go to camp and you're in it for, oh, I'm looking for a great time. I wouldn't do that. I would do that. I'd look for a great time. But you want to be more purposeful than that, right? You want to be a servant. And let's go to Mark chapter 10 first. And Jesus was a servant, right? He came not to be ministered to, but to minister, give his life a ransom for many. He was very purposeful. Mark chapter 10 in verse 43. You know, the disciples had a problem. They were competing who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And they were believers, but they're looking for, I'm looking for big reward here. Well, Jesus sets them straight. And notice what he says in chapter 10, verse 43. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, your servant. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. Romans 12 says Jesus didn't please himself. No, he went around reaching souls. That was his intent. And, you know, if you think about, as you get older, you think about this, the end of your life, and what's going to count? You know what's going to count? It's what good you did for somebody else. That's what's going to count. And so we want to have this mindset. Now let's go to Colossians 3 and 22. Now the setting here is servants and masters. And they say at least 50% of the Roman Empire were slaves. And that wasn't always a real bad situation, but sometimes it might have been. And notice in Colossians 3, he doesn't say, now, be a runaway, break out of this, this is wrong. No, be a testimony where you are. And it could compare to the employer-employee relationship. But I'm applying this generally now. Let's go to Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, this is important. With eye service. I remember on the job, the first engineering job I had, and it was a real dominant vice president of engineering. And when he left, the secretary said, Kenny's gone. And these guys are shooting rubber bands. And it was a pretty immature place. Well, you don't want to do it with eye service. The Lord's always watching. We've seen that in our study in Kings, that they did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That's what counts. We want to please Almighty God. And so we don't want to be men pleasers. Let me make a camp application. Camper of the week. Oh, it's an honor. Do it for the Lord, though. Don't do it to, you know, I'm trying to be good so I can win this prize. And we could apply it generally to all of us, right? We're not looking for the applause of men. We want to please God in heaven. So not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Singleness of heart. This is an undivided mind. David said, unite my heart to fear thy name. Singleness of heart, fearing God, standing in awe of God. And so that's a wonderful thing. And then he gets to the heart of it, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So those that are serving at camp, here you go. Here's a good motto. There's a lot of whatsoever you do's in the Bible, by the way. We heard that this morning. Whatever you do, in word or deed, or whether you eat, whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. And you see it back in Colossians, we read it in chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now here he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That means do it from the soul. Get into it. You mean it. You're sincere about it. And you're plunging yourself into this thing, this ministry that God has given to you. It's with the heart. Let's go to Ephesians, the counterpart book, in Ephesians 6:6. It's the same context of servant and master. In verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's a precious thing, isn't it? You're doing your best. You're doing it with a zeal. You're doing it with enthusiasm. You're doing it as unto the Lord. And so, camp is a place to serve. Camp is a place to serve the Lord. And you notice how many times his name is here, by the way. In verse 23, hardly as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord, Christ. It's all about him. Camp's all about him. Camp Logos, it's about the Lord. And so for you servants that are going to camp, you have a great privilege. And I realize camp's a lot of work. And sometimes it gets about 90 degrees down there in that humid. It isn't easy, you know, with the fan blowing on you and you're living in a cabin. But you can do it all unto the Lord. And here's a wonderful promise. You shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Whatsoever good any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. That's back in Ephesians 6. You know there is an inheritance. You have an inheritance as a child of God. Did you know you can add to your inheritance in your service to the Lord? What's done for Jesus, that will go into eternity. And there's nothing insignificant about it. It makes the most mundane thing, if it's for the Lord, very meaningful. Well, I'm going to wrap this up early so you can get off early. And at least 5 minutes here. And so what a wonderful thing it is, isn't it, to serve him. Let me go back, though. The Word of God is what will give you life. If you're here today and you haven't trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, did you know God has promised you eternal life and he can't lie if you believe in him? If you believe in the Lord Jesus who paid for your sins, he did that and rose again. And it's eternal. It is complete. You're complete in him. So if you haven't done that, I'd be happy to talk to you. Or if one of you young people, if you're not sure about that, you want to listen down there at camp, this might be the week, you know. And sometimes this is what I found in the ministry. People can profess it. That doesn't mean they possess it yet. And then later on, God shows them that they haven't. So you want the real thing, right? And, you know, young people, a lot of times they want to please the adults. You get, make it genuine. We want real salvation. And then secondly, we can grow through the Word. It's a Bible camp. Look for a blessing. God speaks through his Word to our hearts. And God changes lives in salvation, but in Christian growth, where Jesus is seen in you. What a blessing. It's supernatural. You know, it's just like at a Bible conference. I could compare it to that because I've seen the young people come back. They're all excited, you know. A Bible conference, you get that saturation, remember the sponge? And you get a whole lot of Bible, and it changes your life. We need that, don't we? I know I've made a lot of applications for camp, but it applies to all of us here, brethren. We need that saturation that can change our lives, and then may we, by the grace of God, have a mindset to serve. Lord, what would you have me to do? Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the Christian life and the preeminence of Jesus. We pray he would have preeminence in us, his word dwelling in our hearts richly, our lives showing forth Christ who's in us, and our lives having purpose to serve the Lord. Bless your word to our hearts today, and again, bless the camp, bless the campers as they take off, bless those that are driving, may there be safety, the vehicles operating well, and give them a good time. Father, we commit them to thee. Thank thee for thy goodness and love and providing such things. In Jesus' name, amen.